tell you the sentiment down here is not the belief among protesters that they will be allowed back in the park. They believe that this is the way that New York City and the police are trying to evict them. Many don't feel they'll be allowed back in.
Former Penn State assistant coach Jerry Sandusky tells NBC's Rock Center with Brian Williams that he is no pedophile, although he's showered with boys and horsed around in the showers, he says. Sandusky's lawyer says showering with kids does not equate automatically to sexual assault. CNN senior legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin says the lawyer finds himself in a difficult position trying to explain his client's actions.
It is better to say they took a shower together than to admit that their sex took place in the shower. But, I mean, when you are admitting showering with a 10-year-old, you got a big problem already.
Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain fielded questions from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's editorial board. He says he was just pausing to gather his thoughts when he appeared to stumble on a question about President Obama's handling of Libya.
I got to go back and see around in my head.
Oil prices are up 20% since the start of October. They're close to $100 a barrel, about where they were in mid-July. So-called energy experts are predicting U.S. gas prices averaging anywhere from under $3.50 a gallon to more than $4 a gallon. Best guess? Just hold your nose and pump. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Newman.
Yes, Mr. Fernwell.
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of those little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That'll free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the internet.
Pardon?
Is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Can't believe I'm pulling this off after all these years. So glad I got that personal loan from One Main Financial.
Can I take this blindfold off?
Let me help you.
We're going on a cruise.
No, dear. The honeymoon we never took.
You've made promises. We can help you keep them. We are One Main Financial, providing personalized loan solutions with flexible payment options. Go to onemainfinancial.com or call 1-855-321-MAIN. One Main Financial. Your needs, your goals, your dreams. Offer subject to restrictions and requirements of the licensee. For licensing information, visit our website or call us.
By most measures, complaints over flying are on the uptick. Longer security lines, more fees, more crowded planes, and of course, don't ask someone who's recently been stranded on a tarmac. But a new survey finds that once we're back on the ground, the experience gets better. The annual rental car customer survey by J.D. Power finds satisfaction up for a second year, thanks to faster pickup times, easier reservation process, and higher car quality. Fresh numbers this morning show that economies in Europe are growing, but barely. Germany's third quarter GDP up 0.5%, France up 0.4%, the 17-nation Eurozone collectively up 0.2%. As economists worry, the continent is on the brink of recession, and as debt worry in Greece, Italy, and now Spain causes bond yields to rise to worrisome levels. European markets down 1% to 2%, Asian stock indexes off 0.5% today. Back home, S&P futures are losing 11 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
We all know that email marketing from Constant Contact is a powerful tool for small businesses. But now, Constant Contact is kicking it up a notch, helping you tap into the wonderful world of social media. Your customer now gets your informative email, but with an extra boost, a share button that lets them spread your message to all their friends. So your powerful email is now a super powerful social media email. And super powerful is way better than powerful. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
If insurance was sold in the grocery store, it'd be easier to compare. Sydney here is in the market for car insurance.
That's right.
So what do you think of these brands? State Farm, Geico, Progressive, and Allstate.
Honestly, they're all pretty much the same to me.
Well, they all give safe drivers a discount, but look at the Allstate shelf.
What's that? A coupon?
Even better. It's a check. Only Allstate rewards safe drivers with an extra bonus every 6 months you're accident-free.
Nice.
Call Allstate today, and you'll also get a lifetime membership in Good Hands Roadside Assistance absolutely free. Get 24/7 access and low flat rates on everything from tows to tire changes. For your free membership kit, just call a local agent or 888-ALLSTATE today.
Shop less, get more. Make one call to an Allstate agent.
Bonus check not available in every state. Feature is optional. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and their affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Strong thunderstorms, damaging winds with some... President of the United States, Barack Obama, is destroying the United States. Detroit, Michigan embraced progressive policies and corrupt government and unions.
Essentially, the far left wants every captured terrorist to have the same rights all Americans.
According to Tony Trupiano, what the governor failed to reveal was the number of lost jobs from that one policy shift alone cost the state of Michigan over 10,000 jobs in the first quarter of this year.
Doing the right thing requires a dedication and commitment to looking beyond the headlines. It requires a level of excellence and unparalleled effort. It requires you to punch in. It requires First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everybody. Tony Trupiano with you on First Shift. Sorry for the slight delay there. Hey, it is what it is. I hope you're all having a great morning, although I'm sure for many of you, you're just getting up. It's chilly out there, no question about that. We got a great show lined up for you today and a lot of information to get to you. And I will tell you, as we begin this this Tuesday morning program, as I was sitting and looking at the week, I'm kind of planning out some stuff and just bits and pieces. Just a lot of different things and elements it takes to put the show together, the stuff that we do right before the show, throughout the day. It occurs to me, we're trying to build and we're trying to make the show. They're always trying to improve on what we're doing. It occurs to me that maybe we don't ask you enough what you would like to hear. So before I do anything this morning, if there was one thing or two things or three things for that matter that you would like to see us doing that we don't do, could you let us know that? I'd appreciate that, actually. Tony@thetonyshow.org. And I prefer you do it by email as opposed to call, because then it's easier for me to share this information with the staff. But Tony@thetonyshow.org, if there's something that you would like to see us doing that we're not doing, from time to time, and I had somebody write me on Friday about a story that, we will be doing here, when it's appropriate, because it's a timely thing, but the time's not now. I wouldn't have known about this story any other way. And I love it when it happens that way. Those of you that listen to the show, in fact, I can honestly say our 7 o'clock guest is a manifestation of that. So, just keep that in mind. If there's something that you'd like to see us doing, or if you've got an idea for a segment, or there's a guest you'd like us to try to get, the operative word there is try, because not everybody's willing to do a radio, let us know. Tony@thetonyshow.org. Okay, let's take a look at what we are going to be doing this morning. Michelle Fox Phillips will be with us in the next hour. She is the president of Transgender Detroit, and they have a day of remembrance this Friday. I know I've referenced it as I've been making my announcements from time to time. So we'll check in with Michelle and find out what that's all about. We're going to have Representative Phil Kavanaugh on the show today. The Democrats in the State House have a new plan for small business that will hopefully put people to work. Will the Republicans endorse it, and what's it all about?
We'll find out from Representative Kavanaugh at 7:35. And, of course, we hope to have somebody from Occupy Detroit in our 7:50 segment, as we do every day. And then, back after a very difficult set of negotiations, Cindy Estrada, Vice President with United Auto Workers, will be joining us at 8:05. Not in studio this time, but she will be with us today. And we'll kind of get a behind-the-scenes look at what's going on. That contract is in the process of being ratified. We'll get an impression from her how she thinks the ratification process is going. And so we've got a lot of great information to get to you today. So why don't we just go ahead and get going?
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Yes, 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 indeed. The first word today is what? Great question, right? The first word today is, well, I don't know, retribution. And I'm going to kind of go at this in a little bit of a different way. Retribution is kind of a exclamation point on the I gotcha, I was right, in your face kind of thing. Retribution. And it just harkens back all the way till, well, yesterday. And towards the end of the show, we had a guy call the show that said that the Occupy movement was nothing but a bunch of Jew-hating, money-hating people. You know, they're just looking for a handout, et cetera, et cetera. Somebody else had called and referenced a Tea Party member spitting on a representative, a congressperson. Well, Jeffrey, being the crack producer that he is, no, not a producer on crack, just a very good one, found some video that we placed on our Facebook page. Now, to me, it definitively showed that, well, I think somebody got spit on. Just saying, you know, you can decide for yourself. So, you know, retribution. Retribution. It's always good to be right. It's even better when you can put an exclamation point at the end of it. Stick a fork in that one, fellas. And that is our first word, retribution. Yes, indeed. And, you know, today might be a retribution kind of day for Justin Verlander, Mr. Radford. Good morning to you. Today, we, of course, find out who the Cy Young Award winner is.
Yeah, but you got to wait till next Monday to actually find out if he gets the big one.
Well, I would think in his world, this is the big one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, he even said it himself. This is what pitchers want. So I just think that's the one that the rest of us... does anyone think that there's any other pitcher that would win the Cy Young for the AL?
No, I can't imagine that anybody would. Not that they couldn't. You know, you're always going to have your favorite hometown person, whatever. But I think Justin Verlander clearly deserves the Cy Young.
Yeah, there's that. I mean, there's nobody. Jeff Weaver, CC Sabathia, they're all less thans this year compared to what JV did. So.
Well, you know, let's call it 6 weeks out of the end of the season. You know, that was a different discussion. But as the next 6 weeks unfolded, Justin Verlander stepped up his game, you know, with the exception of his last outing, stepped up his game where the others kind of fell apart a little bit, Jeff.
Oh, definitely. And you know, he benefited as well. I mean, again, you can't do this all by yourself. So, you know, Weaver had very poor run support, and Justin Verlander had the best closer in the game. I mean, if there was an award for closers, can you get better than what Valverde did?
No. Perfect is pretty much as good as you can get. And he was perfect.
And
save situations. In non-save situations, not so much.
Well, right. Yeah, exactly. But that helped, you know, Justin's win total. He takes the win to the seventh inning, and then he can't help but sit back eighth inning for him. Yeah, for the most part, he'd get through eight. He has to sit back and watch the ninth and hope that, you know, the team gets the job done. So, again, kudos to the rest of the team as well.
Yeah. Well, so that announcement comes at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and I think the big news will be if he doesn't get the Cy Young. So I hate to say that this is anticlimactic, and I'm hoping it's not, because it is an honor. There's no question about that. To say that you have a Cy Young Award-winning pitcher on your staff is a feather in the cap of both the manager and management in general. And the nice thing about this is they have him under contract for many years to come, Jeff.
Oh, yeah, they got their entire rotation now, it sounds like, except for, you know, depending on who they put at five. But if it's Turner, then they got a nice young nucleus locked down for a while. Did you hear the rumors yesterday about the Tigers being interested in Martin Prado of the Atlanta Braves?
No, I did not. I heard about some kid from Cuba that they've been taking a look at.
The center fielder?
Yeah.
Yeah, supposedly one of the best center field prospects in It's hard to judge when you have someone come from like Cuba or the Dominican Republic, where they have those camps where they don't necessarily teach you baseball, but they teach you baseball skills. It's kind of an odd situation, but
yeah.
Martin Prado he can play second base. He can also play the outfield, and had a heck of a year. Now, again, I wouldn't be giving up any Jair Jurgens for him or anything. But I don't give a pitcher to the Braves from now on at all. But it sounds like they would be willing to do a Delman for Prado straight up trade or something, or somewhere along those lines.
Well, yeah, I'm not. Delman Young was certainly helpful, but I'm not in love with his defense. And honestly, he's not. It's not like he's been with the club for 10 years or 5 years, yeah. And we're giving up some huge prospect here,
tugging on your heartstrings.
Not at all. It wouldn't do that. And if we get somebody of value, I'm all for that.
And that's the thing. It's not about, not so much knocking Delman Young. I think he's good, but I think that's, you have to give up something good to get something good. So, Prado's good with the bat, and he can play defense. So, at second base, where, they're probably, they're running short of options now that Aaron Hill re-signed with the Diamondbacks, and Brandon Phillips got his option picked up by the Reds. I don't know what they're going to do for second.
And at this point, they don't know what they're going to do for second, so...
And it sounds like the Pirates are interested in Santiago, so it doesn't look like they're going to bring him back.
And that would be okay with me, too. Ramon Santiago is one of those guys that really never did a whole lot for me, Jeff.
Wow. I mean, some people, he didn't do a lot because he was, part-time, but a lot of people were in his corner about him playing more.
Yeah, and I know they were. I just, it was never confusing to me why... he didn't play more. If he were to go and he has a chance to play full-time somewhere else, because we're not going to play him full-time. We've sent that message loud and clear. God bless him. Let him go and do that. All right, quick break here. It's the opening day of hunting season. Does it matter to you? I'm just asking. Relax. I'm just asking. Thanks for punching in this morning. It is First Shift. Those of you getting ready to go out hunting, perhaps we appreciate you punching in with us this early Tuesday morning. The number to give in, that's right, you can come right in the studio, 888-552-3595. We'll take the break right here. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Our total traffic update, Tony, brought to you by Ford Driving Skills for Life. As you're heading out on 696, it looks pretty good right now, coming off of 275 and 96, heading toward M10, out to Southfield Road, I-75. Just not seeing any big delays yet, but things are picking up a little bit, but fortunately, it looks like weather's not an issue.
Wintertime driving can be hazardous, especially for newly licensed teen drivers. Visit Ford Driving Skills for Life's award-winning website at drivingskillsforlife.com for great safe driving tips.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We will see some sun today, our high near 60. Tonight, though, partly cloudy, a low of 37. Tomorrow, more sun, but a high of only 45. Right now, it's overcast and 46 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Good news for anyone with a roofing problem, because you could use a little. GAF Timberline shingles have a lifetime limited warranty and are backed by GAF's advanced protection technology for long-term performance and wind resistance, no matter where you live. They're North America's number one seller, and they're affordably priced at the Home Depot. Just like everything else you'll need for an integrated watertight roofing system. GAF Shingles. Quality you can trust. See limited warranty for complete coverage and restrictions.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
The greatest video game music, performed by the London Philharmonic Orchestra. Over 20 songs from games like Call of Duty, The Legend of Zelda, and Angry Birds. The greatest video game music, available now in stores and online.
Recently on First Shift,
David Hecker, who is president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan,
about the American Jobs Act. The Republicans stand up and vote no, but what I'd love them to stand up and say is I vote no because I think there should be 54 kids in a kindergarten class. I vote no because I don't care that the response time of police officers and firefighters have skyrocketed because of layoffs, because that is the only reason someone would have to vote no is that they just don't care.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock, and good morning to you. Again, today is the opening day of firearm hunting season, and the prognosticators are saying upwards of 400,000 deer will be shot and mostly consumed, some of them stuffed, of course. Jeff, you know, and you and I have never really talked hunting. I'm going to guess that that's not, I mean, not that you're against it, but it's not one of the things that you're, you know, you're 100%, hey, it's hunting season. I should be out there right now.
It's funny because my dad is, you know, he's a big hunter and a fisherman and all that. I don't have the patience. I don't know if maybe it's the, you know, I guess it's not my generation because they said there's a lot of younger hunters now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Enjoying it, but I don't have the patience. I can't sit there and you know, and wait for something to walk by to shoot.
Yeah, I've never been. I'm not against it, of course. I've got lots of friends that are deer hunters. You know, when I owned my restaurant in Pontiac, I've owned three restaurants. The one in Pontiac, I used to, before hunting season started, usually right after Labor Day, I would start advertising for, I would sell gallons of chili and of sausage gravy for biscuits and gravy. We'd also sell the biscuits as well for the deer hunters. They had lots of guys that were hunters. And I'm telling you, the money that I brought in just selling chili and sausage gravy before hunting season paid for my holiday bonuses for my employees, also paid for all of my holiday shopping for my family, and I could actually be quite generous just from, you know, selling the chili and the sausage gravy.
That sounds good just right now. I would do that. I don't even need the hunting. I would just go for that.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, I'd start putting out little table tents like right after Labor Day. You know, hey, order your chili and sausage gravy now. You know, it came with however many biscuits. I don't remember. It's been quite a few years since I did that. But yeah, it used to be big money for me. And again, I don't remember what I charged, but you know, I made a handsome sum selling that stuff. So, but I know a lot of men and women, by the way, that do enjoy hunting season. Anthony happens to be a fan of venison. I am not. And I'm assuming you've had it plenty of times if your dad's a hunter.
Oh, yeah, definitely love it.
Anthony, where did you first eat venison? Because obviously it's not something we just have hanging around the house.
Johnson's dad would make it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is there a particular way you like it prepared, or do you like it all? Or?
Yeah, I like it all, but the venison steaks are great.
Okay, man. See, it does have a different flavor to it. There's no question about that. And people call it a gaminess, but whatever. Just not my thing. That's all.
You know, I'm pretty good at getting deer, though. I don't hunt, but I do end up killing a good fair share of deer.
You're gonna have to explain that.
Yeah, with my car.
I've hit
two or three deer so far. And my dad, who's a hunter, obviously it wasn't hunting season, just did the same thing. When I hit them. They do end up, like, you know, moving off the road, and I don't, like, go and pick them up and put them. You know, it's not like, the one Chris Farley movie where the deer wakes up in the back seat or anything. I wouldn't do that, but I guess my dad hit one the other day with his truck and actually did, you know, get the permit to put it in the back of the truck and take it to, and we're going to have venison, or they're going to have venison at least.
Now, is it true that, when the police come, they will actually issue you a permit right on the spot?
I don't know how it works yet, but he did call the cops right away, and went through all the proper channels to get it so that he could take it. I don't know if they issue it right on the spot or not.
All right,
but I mean he got the deer. I mean, it's not like they left it on the side of the road for days. I mean, he picked it up and
I'm assuming his vehicle wasn't too badly damaged.
It sounds like it is, you know, but. Not enough. He said he's driving it around, so it's still drivable, but he's going to obviously get it fixed.
Yeah, you know, and I wonder how many deer car accidents there are in Michigan every year.
Just on the way here from work, or from where I live to here, there's two dead deer laying on the side of the road.
Really? You live 5 minutes away?
Yeah, just right down 12 Mile Road. It's crazy.
Wow. That is crazy. Well, you know, I got to tell you, I used to be on a radio network, and the last one I was on was actually headquartered in Charlevoix, so I would go up there quite often. And I would avoid coming home at night because the deer on the side of the road, Jeff, any part of northern Michigan, you're taking your life and their lives in your own hands because there are so many deer on the side of the road. I mean, it's astounding. And one time I counted, and I stopped counting at about 70 or 80. There were that many. And, you know, especially when it gets to be twilight. And, of course, they're not always easy to see. And sometimes they veer out into the road. And, you know, there were plenty of dead deer between, Charlevoix and the metropolitan Detroit area, as there always are. I always am fascinated when I see them in, 275 at 8 Mile. What the hell is there a deer doing over there?
Right, yeah. I kind of think of the same thing. My aunt and uncle live, in the city, but they do have, there's, a small forest, I guess. I want to say, 10 trees or something. And yet, there's always deer back there. So, how do you hide when there's only 10 trees? I mean, what, you hide behind different tree every day? I don't know how these deer get around like that. It's insane, but... Yeah, it is a problem, and I guess that's why they're looking forward to having the hunters step out there. And
well, again, they're
the
saying as upwards of 400,000 deer will be shot and killed this year, and I have a friend, an old friend. I haven't seen him actually in a long time, but he was not only into firearm season; he would do the musket, and he would do bow season as well. He was really into all of it. He used to actually go squirrel hunting and rabbit hunting, and I mean, he was really into it. And just not my thing. Hey, a really good hamburger to me is fine. A nice steak, piece of chicken, I'm good. But as far as the game, not so much. When I ran for Congress, Jeff, I went to the very first event that I went to as a candidate was a wild game dinner. Oh, my, oh, my.
See, I would love that. I like there's this outdoor-rama out here at the Expo Center.
Right. Right.
I love the different kinds of cuts of meat. You know, you can try a turtle or
that's
whatever you want.
Right, and I had a little issue with that. But, of course, you know, everybody's going, oh, you got to try this. And in fact, it was funny because I had tried the rabbit, which was okay. It was okay, but there was a pellet in it. You know, I bit down and I went, oh man, you know.
What?
A pellet from the pellet, the gun, the, you know.
Oh,
the,
okay.
And I
oh,
went,
oh man,
sweet.
It's not what I thought you were talking about, but okay, yeah.
No, not a piece of poop. Is that what you thought I was talking about?
No. Yeah, that was actually. Yeah,
okay, thank you. Okay, if that's not a pellet, then dude, I don't know what you're thinking about. So yeah, that was a little odd. But yeah, it was, you know, again, a lot of it's just unfamiliarity, and it's not even the stuff doesn't taste good. You're just unfamiliar with it. So there's a little hesitation, of course. But, you know, I tried, you know, five or six different things, and it was interesting, to say the least.
I'm down with gator and turtle. Those two, they're better than I thought they would
be. Well, gator actually has very little flavor to it. It's more about how you cook it than the actual flavor.
And it's a texture, right?
Isn't right. The texture doesn't bother me. It's a little dry. It's actually a lot like chicken. I hate to say it, but it's a lot like chicken. All right, when we come back, we got a lot to get to. We've got some sound to bring your way. Of course, we're always happy to take your calls, 888-552-3595. We will take a quick break here, and we'll be back, hunting season or not, right after we do this. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Our total traffic update, Tony, brought to you by DTE Energy. Right now, those on 275 coming up from maybe I-75, heading all the way up toward I-94. We actually look pretty good through there, not yet seeing big delays, although it's getting a little busier. And looks like that construction on the ramps from 275 to 94 West, those are still closed, but hopefully that'll be out of there by Friday.
Brighten your home for the holidays. Get $3 instant discounts on select energy-efficient LED light strings at participating Eco Hardware and the Home Depot stores. Visit DTEenergy.com/save energy.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We will see some sun today. Our high near 60. Tonight, though, partly cloudy, a low of 37. Tomorrow, more sun, but a high of only 45. Right now, it's overcast and 46 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Here's some free advice for America's financial and political leaders who are eager to shut down the Occupy Wall Street protests. If you want to woo the public, try to keep your riot-clad police from shooting an Iraqi war veteran in the face and brutally beating another with clubs, especially when the unprovoked assaults are being videoed, as recently happened in Oakland. You're welcome. The increasing presence of war veterans in the Occupy protests makes it difficult for officialdom to claim that the movement is nothing but aimless, shiftless kids who pose a threat to decent society. Indeed, the real threat to decent society, by which the elite mean themselves and their plutocratic rule over our economy and politics, is their own disdainful treatment of America's workaday majority. Like millions of knocked-down middle-classers and held-down poor people, a tidal wave of soldiers who've served 3, 5, 7, or more tours in hellish war zones have been coming home to a jobless, low-wage, relentlessly grim economy. The unemployment rate for vets is 12%, a third higher than the national rate. For young vets, it's 20%, more than double the national figure. And some 50,000 more soldiers are to return from the Mideast wars by year's end. So, what's the plan? After World War II, a more enlightened establishment created the GI Bill to absorb that surge of returning soldiers. But our leaders today have nothing approaching that enlightenment, nor even a plan to have a plan. This is Jim Hightower saying the penthouse swells can unleash their police to break up protests, but that only fuels the fury. Now, they're cracking down on veterans, people who know how to use guns. It's time to deal with the growing crisis of joblessness and inequality in America. For more information, contact veteransforcommonsense.org.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights.
1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. I need to mention, as this is breaking news this morning, but the Occupy Wall Street at Zuccotti Park in New York City was dismantled this morning by New York City police. Now, before you get all up in an uproar, as I did as soon as I saw it, Mayor Bloomberg said that they're more than welcome to come back later on in the day. They just no longer are allowed to habitate the property. They can protest, but they're no longer allowed to bring tents or sleeping bags. And apparently, overnight, the police came through and cleaned the park and took all the tents down and literally cleaned the park, picked up all the garbage, etc., and told the protesters that they're more than welcome to come back later in the day and do whatever they want to do, but they are no longer allowed to stay there. And as we have more information on that situation, we will get it to you. And hopefully, normally I have my my guest to us by this time in the show, and I don't this morning, so I don't know for sure that we're going to have somebody from Occupy Detroit. I assume that we will, but we'll be doing something at 7:50 in regard to the Occupy Detroit movement. But at this point, I'm just making you aware of what's happening in New York, and we'll try to get you an update on what's going to happen here at Grand Circus Park in Detroit.
It sounds like in New York they've been displaced to Foley Square now, or at least that's where they're meeting. And I don't know what the situation at Foley Square is, but that's where all the people that have been kicked out of Zuccotti Park are heading to.
Okay. Well, and again, we don't, beyond that, we really don't know a whole lot more than that, but we'll see what happens. And at some level, and it's not like what's happening here in Detroit, the reality is with the weather turning colder, and the health and safety is an important issue, not just for those that run a city, but those that are actually responsible for the occupation. They want to make sure that they protect those brothers and sisters that are braving this out. Now, I know that there are some people that absolutely say it doesn't matter. I don't care what the weather is going to be like. I'll be there. I'll make the sacrifice. But what's best for the greater good is something that should be and is something that is being addressed. All right. I wanted to make sure that we at least spend a little bit of time with this today. On Sunday's 60 Minutes, and we've got some local stuff we'll get to at 7:50, but on Sunday's 60 Minutes, Steve Croft did a piece on how members of Congress suddenly become quite wealthy during their service, and I've often, Jeff, I don't know about you, but I've often wondered how that happens.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Rick Perry, by the way, is an example of that. Obviously not at the congressional level. He's a governor. But, he was a farmer when he was elected to the, to the governorship of Texas, and now he's a multimillionaire.
Yeah, but isn't it, I think that there's a, well, I shouldn't say anything. I thought the rumor was that that there's a lot of people in politics that, quote, own a farm, and it's not really a farm. It's just a way to get around, to take advantage of the advantages of owning a farm.
Yeah, and that could be true. I don't know, especially with regard to Rick Perry. I don't have any details, but it just seems to me awfully odd that a lot of people that go into politics end up coming out the other end multimillionaires, yet their salary is, a nice six-figure salary, but certainly nothing that places them in the seven-figure category. Peter Schweitzer, who is an author, penned a book about this very topic. Let's listen to a little bit of this 60-minute segment. Peter Schweitzer.
Peter Schweitzer is a fellow at the Hoover Institution, a conservative think tank at Stanford University. A year ago, he began working on a book about soft corruption in Washington with a team of eight student researchers who reviewed financial disclosure records. The results became a jumping-off point for our own story, and we have independently verified the material we've used. Schweitzer says he wanted to know why some congressmen and senators managed to accumulate significant wealth beyond their salaries and proved particularly adept at buying and selling stocks.
There are all sorts of forms of honest graft that congressmen engage in that allow them to become very, very wealthy. So it's not illegal, but I think it's highly unethical. I think it's highly offensive and wrong. What do you mean honest graft? For example, insider trading on the stock market. If you are a member of Congress, those laws are deemed not to apply.
So congressmen get a pass on insider trading?
They do. The fact is, if you sit on a health care committee and you know that Medicare, for example, is considering not reimbursing for a certain drug, that's market-moving information. And if you can trade stock off of that information and do so legally, that's a great profit-making opportunity, and that sort of behavior goes on.
Why does Congress get a pass on this?
It's really the way the rules have been defined, and the people who make the rules are the political class in Washington, and they've conveniently written them in such a way that they don't apply to themselves.
Which is, of course, very convenient indeed. Now, you know, and again, this there's nothing about that doesn't make sense to me. Of course, they're going to get insider information. What's odd is that they can actually benefit from that it's legal to actually benefit from that. And again, it may not be ethical, as Peter Schweizer says, but it is legal. There's no question that's true. And this next piece of audio, Schweizer on different ways, a short piece of audio on different ways that Congress benefits.
We know that during the health care debate, people were trading health care stocks. We know that during the financial crisis of 2008, they were getting out of the market before the rest of America really knew what was going on.
All right. So, you know, that is a little bit of a tease there. And then our last piece of audio, and then I'll give you some commentary on how one person's story brought them quite a bit of success.
One of those attending was Alabama Representative Spencer Backus, then the ranking Republican member on the House Financial Services Committee, and now its chairman.
These meetings were so sensitive that they would actually confiscate cell phones and Blackberries going into those meetings. What we know is that those meetings were held one day, and literally the next day, Congressman Backus would engage in buying stock options based on apocalyptic briefings that he had the day before from the Fed chairman and the Treasury secretary. I mean, talk about a stock tip.
While Congressman Backus was publicly trying to keep the economy from cratering, he was privately betting that it would, buying option funds that would go up in value if the market went down. He would make a variety of trades and profit at a time when most Americans were losing their shirts.
And there you go. And so the bottom line, again, is there's nothing illegal about that for members of Congress. Yet if you and I were to do it, we would serve federal jail time. And obviously, the rules must change here. But again, asking the people that are breaking the rules, bending the rules to change those rules, as we have seen repeatedly, is next to impossible and quite difficult. And it certainly is eye-opening when you look again at the massive amount of wealth that is accrued during somebody's service, their elected service to this country. There was another part of the 60 Minutes piece that we didn't grab the audio of another representative, it might have been a senator, that conveniently bought a piece of property adjacent to what was going to be a new federal highway project, only to turn around — it was actually former Congressman Dennis Hastert — only to turn around and sell that piece of property for a $2 million profit a very short period of time later. A $2 million profit. He didn't sell it for $2 million. He made $2 million on it when they came through to start building and planning that federal highway project. Well, how would he have known that they were going to be building it there without, of course, being a member of Congress and sitting on that committee?
Oh, Tony, he bought the land because it was already going up in value.
And that is what they said. They said that it was already appraising better, and so that's why they bought it. Or that's why he bought it.
$2 million.
Right. In a very short period of time, by the way. And so, yeah, again, the soft corruption. I love that. I love that saying, soft corruption. But the bottom line is, it's legal, and that really is the difficulty in all this. And so, yeah, it certainly is one of the perks of being in office is having access to, I mean, the most immaculate the insider information. It's pristine. It doesn't get any better than the source. You know, when you're sitting in the middle, when you are the source and you can use that information to your own financial gain. Well, we see what happens. And again, so many members of Congress go in as, you know, pretty common, you know, making an okay living kind of person and come out the other side multi-millionaires. And of course, I've wondered many, many times how that happens. And this is just one of the ways that that does happen. And again, I mentioned Rick, Governor of Texas, Rick Perry, who is now a multimillionaire, who was not, by any stretch of the imagination, close to being having $1 million when he became the governor of Texas. Yet suddenly he's some kind of genius when it comes to buying and selling property and trading commodities and stocks. Just crazy.
Do you worry at all, though, that instead of, you know, doing what's best for the American people, that there's people in politics that are making decisions based on how much they can gain?
Absolutely, of course. I've always worried about that because it's true. There are people that do that. Absolutely. Yeah, it's frightening. It's absolutely frightening. Yeah, the rules need to change. No question that's true. 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter @TonyTrupiano. We're going to take a quick break here. We've got some local stuff and some calls to get to on the other side, so you stay right where you're at. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We will continue right after this.
Michigan News Talk is on First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me is Professor Gordon Lafer.
One of the problems with one of the versions of right to work that somebody is talking about introducing in Michigan, which would be aimed strictly at teachers and the school system. There has never been a right to work law like that because it makes no economic sense. You're not going to attract companies into out of state by attacking teachers. But what you will do is put Michigan at a competitive disadvantage in recruiting and retaining the highest quality teachers. If you say, well, we're going to cut down, you know, union bargaining power and wages and benefits for Michigan teachers, any teacher who has a choice is deciding are they going to go to Michigan or a neighboring state is going to have an incentive to go elsewhere. So at a time when the state is trying to have a strong education system, I mean, both for all kinds of reasons, including being able to compete for these higher skilled jobs, to put in a law that says we're going to undermine the quality of teachers we can attract seems backwards economically.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, and we got a lot yet to do in this hour. A lot to do today, in fact. So thank you for punching in with us on this early morning Tuesday program. We are going to go to the phones again. If you care to join us, well, always feel free. Literally, we're paying for the call. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome David in Farmington back to First Shift. David, thanks for calling this morning. What's on your mind?
Hey. It occurred to me when you're talking about Denny Hazard, I only caught part of that 60-minute story at the last 2-3 minutes. Denny Hazard was bringing Hillary and Bill Clinton up for the exact same thing he was executing. For the whole Whitewater scandal?
Oh, yeah,
How could he take $100,000 invested in the Whitewater area of Arkansas and then make $1 million in a year and a half time?
Absolutely.
He did the same thing.
Well, listen, David. They all do it. This is probably as nonpartisan an issue as we'll get to today.
I totally agree, but it just reminded me, you know, just the total hypocrisy. You know, he what a slime ball.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, now he, of course, and thanks for the call, David, now he is a lobbyist in Washington, D.C., and, you know, has access to information still, and I'm sure is still profiting off it. Now it's a little more, or a little less legal than it was when he was, of course, in Congress. Let's go back to the phones and welcome Roger in Garden City. Roger, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony. Always a good show. I always try and listen to you every day. You're so educational to the public. The thing I was going to tell you is, you know, the all-time approval rating of Congress is now down to 9%, and you wonder why.
Huh.
Well, these guys are so damn crooked, they got to screw their socks and shoes on to get them on in the morning and unscrew them to get them off. I mean, you know, it's just damn silly. I mean, one thing, they like Sam Riddle, he got to go to a prison for taking money for doing some favors in Detroit. And these lobbyists go down to Congress and they call it lobbying. What the hell's the difference? They all should be in jail down here.
Well, listen, there's no question. And I guess, you know, Roger, that's really the point of even bringing this up this morning. This thing that they call soft corruption. The bottom line is there are rules that protect members of Congress from things that you and I would go to jail for. And it's just wrong.
You know, if any of these guys had to take a polygraph, the needle would snap off because they couldn't tell the truth, you know?
Well, but again, Roger, it's legal. What they're doing is legal.
Well, that's what I say. It's corruption, soft corruption, like you said.
Now, it's you know, yes, it's disappointing. And thank you for your call, Roger. As I said to start that whole piece, the worst part about it is the people that can change the rules are the people that are benefiting from the rules. So what is where's their motivation to change? They have no motivation to change the rules. They absolutely have no motivation at all to change the rules. 888-552-3595 is our phone number. Let us turn our attention now to Don in Detroit. Don, good morning to you. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tommy. It's good to hear you. I enjoy your show every morning.
Well, thank you, Don.
I can listen to it. I watched a 60-minute piece, and you wonder why Congress has about a 9% approval rating.
Uh-huh.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Congress has an approval rating?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I just feel that lack of integrity and transparency in what they're doing in Washington is systemic to the lack of accountability to the average citizen and why they refer to us consumers instead of citizens now.
Yeah, well, there's no question, Don, and there's no question in my mind and in your mind as well, that, you know, this is how they you know, one of the perks of office, that they can manipulate the information that they receive that they're supposed to be using, by the way, Don, to protect us, to enhance this country, to provide opportunity, to provide jobs, to base their decisions on, to form policy, and yet they personally profit from it. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. You know,
it's crazy that you send somebody to jail for like 10 or 15 years who's not a member of Congress. But if you're a member of Congress, then it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the truth. You know, this is kind of a nice segue into Turquia Mullen, who, by the way, was subpoenaed yesterday and will be forced to testify. Let's quickly listen to some audio from WXYZ TV Channel 7, and then we'll talk about it on the other side.
Embattled former airport CEO Turquia Mullen will be deposed this Wednesday in connection with a lawsuit claiming her hiring was illegal. Her former colleagues, including former airport chair Renee Axt, will also be grilled by an attorney. Mullen, Axt, and other members of the airport board were subpoenaed in connection with a lawsuit filed by Wayne County activist Robert Davis. Davis filed the suit claiming Mullen's hiring was illegal. Now, he believes the airport board committee that picked Mullen met in secret, which he argues is a violation of the law.
They blatantly violated the Open Meetings Act, in which they met in secret and in private and kept away from the public how the decision was made as it relates to the hiring of Turquia Mullens as the CEO for the airport.
There you go. So she has got some music to face. And I got to tell you, when she hired a publicist, that's when this whole thing jumped the shark for me. Hiring an attorney made sense. So you just do that to protect yourself. Hiring a publicist, you do that when you're looking to become a profiteer. And I just can't endorse her doing that. I'm just wondering how she thinks she's going to profit off this, besides the lawsuit that she will be filing for some kind of breach of contract. And we know that, of course, I did post some stuff this morning on Facebook about this case. But we do know that the FBI is now actively involved on multiple levels. We need to pay attention to what's going on in Wayne County. And who will go unscathed? I think no one when this is all said and done. It'll be interesting to see how Bob Ficano twists and turns his way through this, because at some point, even if he didn't know the stuff was going on, he is responsible ultimately. And I'm not naive. There are things that happen under you. Again, there are 3,200 people that work for Wayne County. There's no way Bob Ficano is going to know what each and every one of those people are doing. And it's not that difficult to build a structure, a management structure, that will ban or bar information from getting to the top. And there's no way, you know, that Bob Ficano may have known some of this stuff was going on. I mean, truly, there is, that's a very legitimate possibility, but it is not an excuse. And ultimately, he has to wear that. And how he deals with that will be very, very interesting. I'm betting you guys, Knowing how well the FBI is performing right now, that Bob Ficano goes to work every day wishing he weren't the county executive. Of course, the problem is walking away from that job doesn't absolve him of anything. A quick break for the top of the hour. Diane Cross coming up with traffic and weather. A CNN with headline news. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW after our top of the hour break.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. We've got some slow going for drivers trying to head into downtown. I-75 southbound after I-94, an earlier accident still trying to clear from the right side. Looks like we are backed up to about Holbrook, and drivers also seeing a bit of slow traffic on M-10 The Lodge as you're trying to head in toward downtown. Maybe drivers are using the Davison to head from 75 over to The Lodge, and that's backing things up too. I'm Diane Cross. Traffic.
Drive through McDonald's today and try the new McCafe Peppermint Mocha. It's a perfect blend of smooth espresso and chocolate syrup with a hint of peppermint and freshly steamed milk. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We will see some sun today, our high near 60. Tonight, though, partly cloudy, a low of 37. Tomorrow, more sun, but a high of only 45. Right now, it's overcast and 46 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, New York police moved in overnight, clearing Zuccotti Park of Occupy Wall Street protesters. CNN's Poppy Harlow's there. She says a few demonstrators refused to leave.
Some of them have locked arms together, and they have refused to leave. One told me that a chemical substance, she does not know if it was tear gas, she said a chemical substance was sprayed into the air. She said those next to her were pulled away by police. One protester said he was removed from the park. A police officer saying, you have been here, expletive, far too long.
The city says the eviction's just temporary while they clean the park. Former Penn State assistant coach Jerry Sandusky says he's innocent of charges that he sexually abused young boys. On NBC's Rock Center with Brian Williams, Sandusky admits he did shower with kids.
I shouldn't have showered with those kids. You know, so that's what hits me the most.
Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain fielded questions from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's editorial board. He says he was just pausing to gather his thoughts when he appeared to stumble on a question about President Obama's handling of Libya.
I gotta go back and see,
The U.S. Supreme Court's agreed to decide the constitutionality of the controversial health care reform law. Attorney General Greg Abbott of Texas, one of the states that brought the lawsuit against the feds, says if the Supreme Court does not overturn the law, it'll set a dangerous precedent.
But if the court rules against us, it will mean that there will be virtually no limits to congressional power in what Congress can mandate Americans to go out and purchase. I don't think the Supreme Court wants to go that far.
Notice your gas prices recently? Oil prices are pushing $100 a barrel again, highest since mid-July. They have risen about 20% in the past 6 weeks alone. Analysts attribute the rise to everything from a weaker dollar to tensions in the Middle East. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
We sure make a lot of stops around the holidays, stopping here to pick up gifts, stopping there to drop off the car. What if just one stop could put an end to all the stopping?
Sears Auto Center has you covered. With great prices on top tire brands like Michelin and Goodyear, Valvoline Oil Change, and America's most trusted battery, DieHard. Plus, with service or tire purchase, get a $5 Sears coupon to help you tackle the rest of your list while you wait. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. That's real convenience for real drivers. Sears Auto Center.
I'm Charles Osgood. The true measure of any insurance company comes when you need it the most. And maybe that's why, when it comes to claims, auto owners insurance is known throughout the insurance industry as the no problem people. Since the year 1916, auto owners insurance has been there when you need them. Auto owners insurance, the no problem people. To find the independent insurance agent nearest you, visit autoowners.com. That's autoowners.com.
Crowded flights, new and ever-increasing fees, and of course those tarmac delays give people who fly plenty to complain about. But one type of business at the airport is getting higher marks. J.D. Power's annual survey of car rental customer satisfaction finds a second year of increase thanks to smoother reservations, quicker pickup times, and better quality vehicles. The most satisfying companies, say the survey, are Ace Rent-A-Car, then Enterprise, National, and Hertz. A bidding war is heating up for one of the most well-known mega churches in the country. Orange County's Catholic Diocese and Chapman University are trading bids to buy the mostly glass crystal cathedral in Garden Grove, California, following the church's bankruptcy. The diocese has just raised its bid to $57.5 million. Different day, same story for markets around the world. Debt worry in Europe, including now Spain, pulling down stocks. Asian markets down 0.5%. European indexes down more than 1%. S&P futures down 16. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.
We all know that email marketing from Constant Contact is a powerful tool for small businesses. But now, Constant Contact is kicking it up a notch, helping you tap into the wonderful world of social media. Your customer now gets your informative email, but with an extra boost, a share button that lets them spread your message to all their friends. So your powerful email is now a super powerful social media email. And super powerful is way better than powerful. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Perlman!
Yes, Mr. Fernwell?
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of those little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That'll free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the Internet!
Pardon?
Is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Can't believe I'm pulling this off after all these years. So glad I got that personal loan from One Main Financial.
Can I take this blindfold off?
Let me help you.
We're going on a cruise.
No, dear. The honeymoon we never took.
You've made promises. We can help you keep them. We are One Main Financial, providing personalized loan solutions with flexible payment options. Go to onemainfinancial.com or call 1-855-321-MAIN. One Main Financial. Your needs, your goals, your dreams. Offer subject to restrictions and requirements of a licensee. For licensing information, visit our website or call us.
Michigan Governor Rick Snyder is the poster child for the cliche, actions speak louder than words.
One thing I tell people is there's no magic bullet here.
Because
This is a grinded out situation.
Y'all don't shut up. I'm going to go out of my mind.
Welcome to Detroit's only free speech zone. It's time to wake up to truth, reality, and a way forward. It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning, Tony Trupiano back with you 7 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Tuesday morning First Shift program. We will be checking in with Occupy Detroit at 7:50 as we do every day at that time. So you need an update, that's when you're going to get your update. We'll have a little time for open lines in this hour as well, as we've had too little of that lately. But we also are going to be checking in with the State Representative Phil Kavanaugh, talking about a new program. The Democrats have come up to help small business to create jobs, something that, of course, we need to be focusing on. Speaking, though, of focusing on something, there is something that as a society and as a media we do a horrible job of focusing on, and that is the plight and the lives, frankly, of the transgender community. Joining me now, as she has before, is Michelle Fox Phillips. She is the director of Transgender Detroit, and she's here this morning to talk to us about the Transgender Day of Remembrance, which, of course, I've been mentioning, as I will be one of their featured speakers this Friday. And, Michelle, it's a pleasure to have you back on First Shift.
Thank you for having me, Tony, and thank you for all the work you're doing, and I would really like to thank you for being with us on Friday evening for this event.
Well, I'd like to say I am looking forward to it, but it breaks my heart, Michelle, as we take a look at what happened with the transgender teen in Detroit and the horrific outcome of that woman. What she had to go through, unfortunately. Now, we don't know at this point that was a hate crime. But, Michelle, we do know that a transgendered youth was murdered, and we know that body was dismembered. And I hate to be so graphic this early in the morning, but I think that we need to be truthful about this, that body was dismembered and the torso burned. This is just wrong, Michelle.
Yes, it is, but it's also very typical of transgender murder throughout the world. They don't look at us as being human beings. They look at us as being throwaway objects. And they take that hate and they take that anger and they take it out on our community.
Well, again, I don't know what there is to hate, and perhaps we can have that conversation at some other time, but I really want to try to keep the rest of this segment today positive and talking about Friday, what the Transgender Day of Remembrance will be all about. First of all, let's let people know, Michelle, that it's going to be at the Central United Methodist Church at 23 East Adams Street in Detroit. And I'm assuming this is open to the public?
Yes, it is. Anybody is perfectly welcome to come. The doors will open at 6:30. There is parking on the north side of the church, and when they do park, mention that they are coming for the Transgender Day of Remembrance vigil. And There's another event going on downtown at the Fox, so they have to mention they are coming to the vigil for free parking.
All right, very good. And that's a good thing to know. It's a good thing for me to know as well. Let's talk about what the Transgender Day of Remembrance is about.
It started in the murder of 1998 in November of Rita Hester in Boston, Massachusetts. And because no one made light of her murder, Gwendolyn Smith, a Bay Area out of San Francisco reporter, started a website called Remembering Our Dead. And she started listing all the other victims that she can find on her website. In 1999, the first candlelight vigil was held in San Francisco to honor our fallen brothers and sisters. It has ballooned to an international event where there's candlelight vigils. The official date is November 20th, by the way. And there's international events. There's candlelight vigils here in the United States, in Britain, Israel, Italy, and so on, Australia.
Well, I mean it's nice to hear that there is a worldwide response to this, But Michelle, it also reminds me, and again I go back to everybody has their own story. We're not just talking about those that have been murdered or those that have passed, but those that have had to, for whatever reason, leave their family behind, whether they were ostracized or whatever other reason. This is, to me anyway, Michelle, it's about remembering and in some way responding to the very difficult lives that transgendered people unfortunately have to live. There is such a great misunderstanding and almost paranoia, if I can, Michelle, towards transgendered people, even in the LGB community.
Yes, there is, unfortunately, but people are starting to recognize us and to accept us within the general community, LGB community. Last night I attended the introduction of the new executive director, David Garcia, at Affirmations, and he is being very, very inclusive of all people. Doesn't matter if you're transgender, LGBT, or straight in allies. And there's a lot of other... Go on.
No, go ahead, Michelle.
I was going to say there's a lot more acceptance, especially after 2007 when they tried to strip out gender identity into the Employment Non-Discrimination Act in Washington.
Well, the importance of, and I want to express one more time how honored I am that you included me, even thought to include me in your event on Friday. I truly am touched that you asked me to do that. I'm often reminded that every single person, Michelle, has a story, and that story many times is not, a great story, but there are some good, there are some positive stories that come out of this, and that it gives us an opportunity, to discuss this in general, just what it means to be transgendered, the difficulties. But it's not all difficulty, and I don't want to paint it as all being difficult. For many people, they've had wonderful experiences, and being able to live their lives authentically and honestly, even if the transition, was painful at some level, emotionally, they found their true identity, and they found themselves, and that is something, Michelle, to be celebrated.
Very much so, and there are very much a lot of success stories around the world. You got Renee Richards, tennis player, that transitions. And then about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, there was this athlete out of South Africa, I think, who was born intersex and was accepted within the sports community after some investigation. But there are very many success stories.
well, again, Michelle, I hope at some level that as we become more and more accepting of alternative lifestyles, that as we become more accepting of other people's realities, no matter what the differences are that we have, ultimately, you know, as the flyer that you put up, which, by the way, is a beautiful flyer, the flyer that you, the, well, no, it's beautiful. The flyer that you put out reminds us that, you know, these people are our mothers, our fathers, our daughters, our parents, our friends, our lovers. They're real people. You know, they're real people. It matters not what they once were. What matters is who they are. And we often, you know, unfortunately need to be reminded. And let's hope with each passing year, Michelle Fox Phillips, that we get one step closer. And if this is going to be a slow process, as long as there's progress, and let's just hope with each passing year, the Transgender Day of Remembrance is something that, you know, that grows, that the turnout gets bigger, that the support gets stronger, that the dialogue becomes more open, and that even the media itself, Michelle, which is so confusing to me, that even the media itself would begin to do things, to focus on stories for the transgender community, because ultimately we need the media to pitch in and help us out.
Most assuredly. And the media is catching on to the transgender community. There have been many, many very good shows on cable. Barbara Walters a few years ago on ABC 2020 did an excellent show on transgender children. There's also Oprah, before she went off the air on her show, has done numerous shows on transgender individuals, which showed a positive light. And then, of course, this past year, Chaz Bono being on Dancing with the Stars. So we are starting to get recognized. We are starting, the media is starting to look at us as human beings and not someone out of the ozone or from outer space like they used to.
Absolutely. Well, let me just remind people as we're getting as we're running out of time. On this Friday, November 18th, the doors will open at 6:30. The ceremony begins at 7 o'clock at the Central United Methodist Church at 23 East Adams Street in Detroit. It is the Transgender Day of Remembrance. I will be there. I hope that some in this audience will attend. And, Michelle, I will look forward to meeting you in person on Friday.
I am so looking forward to meeting you. You are such a strong ally, and I can't thank you enough
for
being an ally to the transgender community.
Well, you're welcome, and it is my honor and my pleasure. We will see you on Friday. Let's take a quick break here. Folks, I would really like you to come out. I'll be mentioning this between now and Friday as well. We'll take the break and be back. Stay with us.
Tony Triviano. Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Our total traffic update brought to you by Ford Driving Skills for Life. Those heading into downtown 75 southbound, the accident near I-94 has cleared. Traffic, though, unfortunately, is already backed up. In fact, it's been slow on 75 south as you come past the Davison trying to head in toward downtown. Also, it's been slow both directions on M-10 The Lodge, south of 94, that hole coming in and out of downtown area.
Wintertime driving can be hazardous, especially for newly licensed teen drivers. Visit Ford Driving Skills for Life's award-winning website at drivingskillsforlife.com for great safe driving tips.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny today. Our high near 60 tonight, cloudy and 37. Tomorrow, sunny and only 45 for a high. Right now, it's overcast and 46 degrees out near the airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.com. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having...
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once, literally. I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Love your Pandora bracelet.
Oh, thanks. He went to Jared.
That's Jared.
Whether you're looking for charms, rings, or bracelets, you'll find the Pandora collection at Jared the Galleria of Jewelry to be truly remarkable. With literally hundreds of designs, only the store with five times the selection of ordinary jewelry stores could bring you a Pandora collection like this. Life has its moments. Make them unforgettable with Pandora Jewelry at Jared.
It can only be Jared.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Yo, yo, yo. Back at you. We got an open line to the bottom of the hour. State Rep. Phil Kavanaugh on at 7:35, and then Occupy Detroit at 7:50. So we've got a lot to get to. All right, Radford, you're going to be a producer now. All right, you're going to help me decide. Do we go local or national? Do we go Governor Snyder on the Flint EFM, or do we go James Carville on Herman Cain? Which do we go? Which direction do we go in?
We better hit up that. We better hit up that Snyder stuff.
That Snyder stuff. All right. We have time, hopefully, at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour to do some other stuff. Although I don't know how long Cindy is going to be with us, so we'll figure that out. All right. So Governor Snyder, and I don't know where the interview took place, so I'll apologize for that, but it doesn't matter. As we discussed with Mark Brewer yesterday, and we did this as well on the Wednesday or Thursday last week, Governor Snyder has declared a financial emergency in Flint. In Flint. Is it politically motivated? All signs say yes. Of course, the governor has his own spin to put on it, and this is what he had to say.
Yeah, we've started that process in terms of looking, because the report came out on Tuesday. That's when I received it. And its recommendations. We're still waiting to hear from Flint whether they would like to have a hearing or appeal the findings of the independent panel. But the independent panel, financial panel, found fairly dire financial results in terms of both the budget deficit and lack of cash in the city. So a financial manager is one of the things that we need to look at. And so we've started that process. And the statute actually has criteria for their background. They need to have 5 years qualification in business or finance. There's a number of qualifications to make sure they're well prepared for the position they would be taking. Well, there's been difficult times for quite some time in Flint. And as a practical matter, we always try to work with communities in avoiding these situations. So we actually had people from Treasury trying to work with Flint going back to the summertime, that it came down to saying, let's get this independent financial review done. And their findings are really quite troublesome. And the real question here is let's not dwell on the problems, let's find a solution. And let's put a solution in place where Flint can get back on its own feet and be successful. And so there are a number of priorities I want to focus on. The top priority is making sure public safety can be done better and better. And that's something we already tried to help with starting last summer when I asked the state police to send in additional troopers to Flint. because the crime rate is too high in Flint, and we want to see that continue to come down. So we're going to work hard on public safety as one of the top priorities. Yeah, we're going to look hard. And again, the financial review is on one track, but again, the whole topic of public safety is always important, and it's always a top priority. I think we've seen improvements in Flint, but I wouldn't say that's good enough. So we want to find ways where we can work with the city of Flint, again, in partnership, in terms of how the state can partner with the city of Flint, the county, and work together to improve public safety in a city that has too much crime. Well, we try to avoid a financial manager whenever we can, and that's really what the statute that we put in place does, is put in an early warning system. The good part is we're only talking less than a handful right now of communities and schools with an emergency manager. There are three cities and one school district that currently have them. So it's not a high number to begin with, but we could see some additional jurisdictions that could be in trouble that we're going to work with to try to avoid the problem. One of the things we also did with the emergency financial manager law that we put in place, and there's been a law in the books for emergency managers for 20 years. This was basically to say two things. Let's put in an early warning system to help communities avoid it. And secondly, if they need an emergency manager, how can we give them additional powers so they can do it faster and better and get out and get it back to the community? And that's something that we're seeing some progress with. For example, the city of Three Oaks, or the village of Three Oaks, had a financial manager that has left this fall. They finished that process. If you look at the city of Benton Harbor, they have a financial manager today, emergency manager. But literally, they've had a balanced budget now, and they're working towards getting a budget surplus put in place. And that's the process of how you get out of having an emergency manager and having it turned back to the community. So by doing these things, hopefully we're going to be able to cycle through the process, get it out of trouble quicker and better, and so it can self-sustain for the long term. Your improvement over what was there before.
All right, and I want to apologize for that hum. I'm sure it was a little distracting. Unfortunately, there was nothing that we could do about it, but that piece of audio is quite, besides the hum, what he had to say was quite disturbing. Because I don't think it's an accurate reflection. I really took exception to that we've had this legislation on the books for 20 years. That is true. We have. It was at his insistence and his design. He was the architect of the dictatorial emergency financial manager bill that was approved by this legislature earlier this year. He says, yeah, it's in order to, aid in the speed of getting people in and out of a community. Well, that's not going to happen quickly, number one. Number two, we've seen what's happened in these communities. The mayor, the city council, rendered absolutely useless. He doesn't address the simple fact that your constitutional rights to elect people to represent you are abrogated, totally thrown out the window. And that should be the, if nothing else, I don't care what your politics are, that should bother you. That should bother you in a great deal. But it doesn't bother Republicans, and I don't quite know why. But that should, that really would. It bothers me just from a foundationally important constitutional reason, but that's just me being crazy me. As he talks about the three communities in the one school district, we now know, based on what we see happening in Pontiac now, what we see happening in Benton Harbor now, and even in the city of Detroit, where Roy Roberts is now the emergency manager for the city of Detroit's public school system, we see a pattern of behavior that, again, is very troubling. Letting go of key personnel, throwing collective bargaining agreements out the window. And then, we look at, whether this is politically motivated or not. You know, the reality is, the governor, of course, is going to go on the recommendation. I'm not so sure that Governor Snyder has an axe to grind with Mayor Walling in Flint, but he may have an axe to grind, or Andy Dillon, the treasurer, who is the one who ultimately decides who receives an emergency financial manager. He does have a political axe to grind with Mayor Walling, as Mayor Walling endorsed Virg Bernero for mayor in the primary in which Andy Dillon was the other candidate, for those of you that have forgotten. And you take a look at the reality of Andy Dillon being supposedly a Democrat, being appointed the treasurer of the state, to see him making a politically motivated decision. Now, I understand that Flint is having financial problems. I'm not ignoring that fact, and it is a fact. They are. But you also need to take a look at the root cause of why they are, because the revenue sharing that the city was receiving was, again, cut, as it was to every other municipality in this wonderful state of ours. It wasn't Mayor Walling's fault, of course. It was this legislature's fault. And so they are working through, and it takes time to work through, those financial issues. Does Flint need an emergency financial manager? Even their own editorial, and if you go to the Flint Journal, you read their editorial in support of an emergency manager. Even their own editorial in their own paper, all right, doesn't get it right, because at the end of it, they question the political motivation. We're going to keep an eye on this, no question about it. State Representative Phil Kavanaugh, my state representative, by the way, when First Shift continues, stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Our total traffic update brought to you by DTE Energy. It's getting slow at times along I-94 in pockets between 696 and I-75. 75 still seeing some slow traffic as you come south of the Davison trying to get past I-94. There had been an accident there earlier that's been gone for a while, but that domino effect takes a while to clear.
This holiday season, light every door with select energy-efficient holiday LED light strings and save $3 instantly at participating Eco Hardware and the Home Depot stores. Visit DTEenergy.com/saveenergy.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny today, our high near 60 tonight, cloudy and 37 tomorrow, sunny and only 45 for a high. Right now it's overcast and 46 degrees out near the airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. While the president continues to wait for Congress to take action on his jobs bill, he's taking whatever steps he can to work around the gridlock. Jesse Russell reports.
The White House is making $1 billion in grants available to doctors, local governments, businesses, and other organizations that are working to improve the way Medicare is utilized by recipients. The funding comes from the Center for Medicare and Medicaid, which was created when President Barack Obama's health care bill passed in 2010. The White House believes that the investments of these grants will help encourage hiring in the healthcare industry and make Medicaid more efficient and cost-effective. The focus of the program will be placed on programs that can be up and running within 6 months of receiving the funding. The decision to release this funding is part of the We Can't Wait campaign being pursued by the White House to circumvent the inability of Congress to put energy into job creation.
In Albany, there are bills that are being put forward to try to release more infrastructure money so that projects can be funded, and everything stalled as of right now across the board.
Metallic Leathers Local 46 business manager Terry Moore. Moore says public infrastructure projects like the current No. 7 subway in Manhattan, as well as the coming economic development around the Javits Center and Hudson Yards, are good for both the city and for workers. These projects, he says, are valuable because they improve transportation within the city, put money in the pockets of workers who then spend it in the general economy, and it also makes other economic development possible.
We're looking at projects like that West Side development to take us to the next level after the area down at Map Zero is finished.
Police moved in on at least two Occupy protest camps in the last couple of days, attempting and failing to dislodge the Portland, Oregon camp as thousands of people peacefully defended it. The Oakland camp was dismantled by police in riot gear. Occupy protesters are reminding officials that free speech and assembly are not riots, and police should not be attacking and breaking up constitutional free assemblies. Occupy Oakland is figuring out how to reconstitute its presence.
Pacific.
Novica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary for Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org.
This newscast was made possible in part by the National Education Association, the NEA, working for great public schools for every student.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Trupiano. And First Shift, First Shift, First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
And welcome, everybody. Tony Trupiano back with you on this Tuesday morning program. We know, as we've talked on this show a myriad of times, we need to start creating jobs. We need a legislature that will start putting packages together of legislation that will move the job numbers in the state of Michigan. Ironically, and actually rather humorously, the governor puts out a newsletter, an occasional newsletter, and he talks about how Michigan is experiencing this rapid growth in jobs, you know, losing 3 percentage points in the unemployment numbers when we know the exact opposite is true. So I don't know what kind of accountant he is, but it's not a very good one based on his most recent newsletter. The Democrats in the House, especially not wanting to sit back and wait for the Republicans to do something, have decided that it's time to invest in small business in the state of Michigan. And they've decided, as of yesterday, to unveil a plan for small business. It is the Invest in Michigan Small Business Jobs Plan. And joining me today to talk about it is, by the way, my good friend and my state representative, Phil Cavanaugh. And Representative Cavanaugh, it is a pleasure to have you on First Shift for the first time.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, Tony.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time. Let's talk about creating some jobs, Representative Cavanaugh. I know that that's important. I know you well. You and I have known each other a long time. And I know that you get up in the morning and you care about what's happening in your community. I know that to be a fact. So what are the Democrats proposing that we can do to help small businesses create some good jobs?
Well, as you know, the campaign last year for all candidates, the governor, state rep, every position, there was only one issue. Or the number one, two, and three issues were jobs, jobs, jobs. It is exactly what everybody is looking for. It's what we need in this state. And yet, I have been up in the state legislature for 11 months, and I can't really pinpoint any jobs bills that they have put through. We've done a massive tax shift from corporate over to the working man, the senior citizens, and the poor. We've cut education, over the last 11 months. You talk about these issues regularly on your show, and I know your listenership and myself appreciate that to the utmost. But the Democrats unveiled yesterday, Invest in Michigan, a small business jobs plan. And 98% of all jobs in the state are created by your local dry cleaners, your local, movie theater, restaurant, etc. Families thrive on this. The focus has been for big tax cuts to major corporations. We really haven't focused at all on how we can get the engines of our economy, the small business owner, how we can support them, how we can create jobs and put people back to work and get Michigan working again. So the Democrats proposed various tax credits, depending on how long the new employee has been unemployed and whether or not they're a veteran, that tax credit could be up to $4,000. Businesses that hire Michiganders who have been unemployed for at least 60 days prior to their hiring will qualify for a $3,000 tax credit. We're hoping that these bills, various rollout of bills, will be taken up by our Republican legislature because they make sense, because they help out and create jobs, those that need it the most.
Well, you know, and I find it interesting, and I want to focus on the small business. The thing that we're talking about here involves large businesses. Why did the Democrats, led by you, Representative Cavanaugh, decide that small business was the focus as opposed to large business?
Well, like I said, in our local neighborhoods. It's your grocery store. It's your various small businesses. It's Main Street USA that need the help, that are really hurting, especially around our urban cores. We need to get people buying in their own neighborhoods, and how that done is you employ them in within their own neighborhoods.
Well, you know, and it's good to see, and I can't imagine that there's a small business person today that isn't relieved to hear that somebody's actually even having a conversation that they're a part of, because we, by and large, ignore small businesses, not only in the state, but nationally. So if I'm understanding what you're saying, Representative Kavanaugh, this plan is based on tax credits for hiring. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, what about businesses that... that are having some, because the economy is affecting everybody, it's always about supply and demand, and maybe I'd love to hire more people, I'm just not selling enough product. Are you suggesting that, these tax credits will, put more money into the pockets of businesses, obviously allowing them to afford their employee, and that may be the difference, we'll be honest about it. You know, maybe the reason that the local company, the local small business does not grow and invest is because their taxes have made it too difficult for them to do that. This would allow them then the opportunity to bring on another one or two people, which is really all it would take. If we had even half the small business in the state hire one or two people, we could probably reduce the unemployment rate in the state of Michigan by 3 or 4 percentage points.
And what a difference that would make to our whole structure. If your economy is thriving, then you really don't have to go after all these social programs that people rely on. And when I see people, I'm not talking about people that don't want to work. I'm talking about mothers and children and seniors that just need a little assistance in the hardest of times.
Well, I don't mean to be cynical here, but I just have to go based on what the Republicans have done in the last 11 months and ask you this question. What gives you any reason to believe that the Republicans will support what it is that you're looking to do here? If you were doing this for big businesses, if you were doing it for insurance companies, if you were doing it for oil companies, yeah, I'm sure they'd be all over this. But you're talking about, the backbone of what makes the Michigan economy hum. They don't seem to be too concerned about these folks. What makes you think you can get this through with the Republicans?
Well, I'm always optimistic that good legislation will be acceptable in concept. There has been a lot of bills that were taken up over the last 4 years coming out of the House when it was democratically controlled that we are now see resurfacing. So the Republicans, realize good legislation. They voted against it last time, and now they're voting for it. But they have stuck very, very well with the governor's agenda. And what I find very surprising is in his State of the State address, he rolled all this out. He said in January, we're going to do this, in February this, and they have done that. So that being said, we're going into an election year next year. We're going into the holidays, so we're going to propose this now. It'll be sent to committee, and hopefully next year they will change their focus. They will look at the small business owner and see the value in it.
You know, I've got to wonder, Representative Kavanaugh, have you reached out to the small business community? And if you have, what kind of reaction have they had to this plan?
Well, we rolled it out yesterday, and it's a mixed reaction because they do realize the dynamics and the politics of it, that they can't get behind something full-heartedly that is contrary to the powers that are in power. But we're going to work on that because, like I said, it's good policy, and I am always hopeful that good policy will be put forth. As a side note, I have you talk about the various things that are going down, insurance companies. I've heard you talk on your show, the workers' comp bill that has made it through the House. I believe it's on its way to the Senate. But the no-fault insurance reform that's going through right now, it's illogical at points because the insurance companies are pushing this, and they're saying it's because the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Fund is unsustainable. And they made the same arguments in 1992 and 1994. They used the same graphs. They used the same data that, you know, the bar graph goes up to the sky. And yet, 20 years later, they're coming up with the same argument. Well, in committee, they've been asked over and over and over, if we pass this legislation, will it lower our insurance rates? And they flat out will not give a yes to that question. We think so, maybe, et cetera. I have a couple bills up there that, you know, maybe another day, another time we could talk about, but they're simple transparency bills. The MCCA is controlled by five members of the insurance company. They make these decisions behind closed doors. Their data that they base our rates on are not FOIAable. So I have legislation proposed, and it's bipartisan. I have six Republicans signed on for it, that they have to be in, the MCCA has to be under an Open Meetings Act. They have to be FOIAable. A member of the public sits on that five-member panel, and the insurance commissioner can also approve or disapprove the decisions coming out. Right now, there are none of those checks, and I found that insane. There's $14 billion in this fund. They're telling us that it's unsustainable, and most of the Republicans are just walking lock, stock, and barrel, but they have not got their number. They're not there yet. They got it out of committee, and they can't bring it up for a vote. So I'm asking everybody to keep on their legislators.
Yeah, and we definitely need to do that. Well, we're out of time for now, Representative Kavanaugh. I want to thank you for not only spending some time with us today, but being forward-thinking enough to put together a plan that the majority of businesses in the state of Michigan, again, the backbone of the Michigan economy, can benefit from. We'll, of course, be following it very closely here, and we'll report as we have more information. Thanks so much for being with us, and we'll chat again very soon.
Tony, thanks for your voice of reason. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Representative Phil Kavanaugh. When we come back, Occupy Detroit. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is 1310 WDTW.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Chip with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Curtis Ellis, Executive Director of the American Jobs Alliance. And tell us, what is the American Jobs Alliance all about?
Individuals across the country who care very much about having jobs in the U.S. and care very much about having a healthy domestic manufacturing base and domestic service base. That is, let's just talk turkey here, put it straight, not outsourcing. We can't be having everything made around the world and imported into this country. Americans have to produce what we use. We have to be producers as well as consumers, or else we'll never get out of the financial mess we're in. We're a post-industrial service economy. I don't have to tell you or your listeners what that's done to this country. You're at ground zero there in Detroit. We have grass growing in the streets of major cities. Cities have never seen a depopulation like this since the Black Plague swept Europe.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano on Facebook. And also follow us. At Tony Tribbiano on Twitter.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW Detroit Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Tribbiano. Now here's Tony.
Quick break. I spent too much time reading. All of a sudden I looked up and it's time to come back on air. I could use another minute, but that's all right. I'll continue my reading at the top of the hour. We every day at this time, of course, and we gladly do it. We visit Occupy Detroit. Again, if you're just joining us and you've not heard the news, Occupy Wall Street in at Zuccotti Park was raided this morning, overnight, and all of the protesters were asked to leave. They took down all the tents. They cleaned up the park. And the caveat there was the protesters were told they could come back during the day, but they were no longer allowed to maintain a residence there. And so as we have more information on that, we'll get to it. But we're concerned with our own, frankly, our own Occupy movement here in Detroit, which has been a pristine and perfect movement as far as I'm concerned. And our guest today joins us now to talk about Occupy Detroit, and his name is Steve Herrig. And, Steve, I want to welcome you to First Shift.
Hi, thanks, Tony. How you doing today?
I'm doing really well. I'm doing really well indeed. Steve, tell us a little bit about your personal story and why you're involved in the Occupy movement.
I guess for the last 12 years, ever since I was, you know, finishing up with high school, I really started to see that there were a lot of problems with the world and where we were headed. I remember growing up kind of thinking about this idea of job stability, that I was going to go and work my 30 years, retire, have a nice retirement in the suburbs. And it really started to feel like that was no longer going to be an option for people of my generation. And so I started, you know, trying to educate myself, read up on alternatives to that, trying to get myself educated about politics, trying to get myself educated about the economy. And I feel like this Occupy Detroit movement, the Occupy Wall Street movement, Occupy the World movement is really kind of just a call out against that people are finally saying enough is enough. And I'm fully on board with that. That's where I'm coming from.
Well, you know, and I think it's important to know that, you know, it's not like we have to have these really fantastic, these, you know, shocking stories of heartbreak and denial. I mean, what we need to know is that real people that are in everyday situations that had a fairly acceptable level of understanding of what they wanted out of life and see that they were not going to be able to get that by letting things stay the way they are, decided to get engaged and say, you know what? No, this is not the way I wanted my life to go. This is not the way the struggle should be. And I want to have a voice in turning that around. Steve, I think those are the stories that need to be told, quite honestly, stories like yours.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great. I've got to ask, how did the rally last night go last night at 7:30? I know the weather didn't really work in your guys' favor.
Actually, you know, the weather ended up panning out. It stopped raining by about 5:30, so we were able to go ahead and set up our sound system. We were able to have some really powerful speakers come out. Ron Scott came down and talked to us for about 15 minutes. And then we had some of the folks from Occupy tell their story. And then we had some of the local community leaders come down and really show their support of this movement and really talk about the future of Detroit and how this movement is going to help move the entire city of Detroit forward. it was really powerful. We had some great musicians play, some slam poetry. It ended up really being a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great. I mean, I'm really glad to hear that, because I was worried. Again, depending where you're at, it was raining at 5:30, you know, Steve. So, you know, in some parts of the metro area, it was actually pretty nasty out at that time. So I'm glad that the gods opened up the sky and allowed the Occupy Detroit movement to have the rally in relatively good weather. So that's a wonderful thing. Steve, stay right where you're at. Destiny, who was on with me before, is calling in and wants to talk a little bit about Occupy Thanksgiving. So let's welcome Destiny back to First Shift. Destiny, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me. Hey, Steve. Hi, Tony. How are you?
Good.
Good. I was just calling in because I just want to remind your listeners again about Occupy Thanksgiving. We're so excited about it. It's going to be this Sunday. And we're still looking to get a lot more support. We got the support of the GA last night. They've agreed to support us monetarily and physically, but we're still looking to get a couple more donations in for catering and also someone to help us as far as the fashion show segment goes.
And now there's a fashion show?
There always was. I just didn't mention that before.
Ah, very good. So
yeah, it's going to be awesome, though.
All right. So what kind of help do you need for the fashion show? Let's be specific.
But as far as the fashion show goes, we just need a couple of people to go with us to the Salvation Army to pick up the clothes. It's nothing extravagant. The theme is just talking about expressing yourself and looking good. The look for less is what we're going to try to assess.
There you go.
So just people to go out with us. But the most important thing we need right now is the food, is to get those donations of food or the catering company to donate. Something like that.
Right, and we want to remind people we need already cooked food. So if you want to bake a turkey, it needs to be already baked. Mashed
yes.
potatoes already baked. You got to bring the stuff hot. Again, if I remember correctly, Destiny, it's from 4 to 6 o'clock, or it starts at four.
Mm-hmm.
It starts at 4 o'clock, right?
Yep, and we're so excited because this is an opportunity for us to reach out into the community and to talk to those people who are like, "What is Occupy all about?" Kind of to give them a fun way to come on in and join us and hear our story. So we're
and
so excited.
And it will be at Grand Circus Park still.
Yes, it will.
All right. Well, good. We just want to make sure we get the information out. Destiny, thanks for checking in with us.
No problem.
All right. Steve Harig again is with us. And amazing, Steve, you know, as the Occupy Detroit movement has grown, you know, Destiny has been on with me before. All of the wonderful things that the Occupy movement is doing to place a focus on the many messages that the Occupy movement has. This isn't just about one message. And certainly whether it's about economic fairness or about, just sharing. I think that, you know, the whole Thanksgiving message about being thankful that we have each other, certainly that fits into the solidarity message. It fits into the community message. I mean, isn't that one of the nice things about the Occupy Detroit movement, is that it is not just about one issue?
Yeah, absolutely. We're sitting here and we are facing an economic crisis, and that is an issue that we want to address as a movement. But it's also about building community, about establishing these great friendships. I know some of the occupiers last night, as they got up to speak during the rally, were just talking about how wonderful it is to finally feel like they have a family to be a part of.
Absolutely. Minded
people that can finally share their ideas with and not feel shut down.
Yeah, we're just out of time, Steve, but I want to thank you for being with us. I apologize to Steve, the caller, just didn't have time to get to you. Feel free to call back in the next hour. In the meantime, we do need to take a break for the top of the hour. Folks, Occupy Detroit still needs your help, your donations at occupy-detroit.us. And if you'd like to prepare some food, or if you're a caterer that would like to help out, get in touch with me, tony@thetonyshow.org. Let's take the break for the top of the hour. We'll be back with Cindy Estrada from the UAW right after this.
1310 WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch. Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by DTE Energy. We've got a few pockets of slow traffic coming down M10 The Lodge, the stretch between Southfield and the Davis, and also on the northbound side, though, not just heading southbound. If you're on I-94, you're going to see, again, a few pockets of slow going at times between 75 and 696. Also a little busier, the interchange with 275 and 96 and M14.
Brighten your home for the holidays. Get $3 instant discounts on select energy-efficient LED light strings at participating Eco Hardware and the Home Depot stores. Visit DTEenergy.com/saveenergy.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny today. Our high near 60 tonight, cloudy and 37. Tomorrow, sunny and only 45 for a high. Right now, it's overcast and 46 degrees out near the airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, more than 100 arrests as New York police clear the Occupy Wall Street protesters out of Zuccotti Park. CNN's Poppy Harlow reports the city says protesters will be allowed back into the park after it's cleaned, but there will be some changes.
When they do open the park and protesters can come back in, the sign says there is a 10 o'clock curfew. No tents are allowed. No sleeping bags are allowed. So the city and Brookfield, which owns this park, is making it clear that they do not want protesters camping out here overnight.
Former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky admits to NBC's Rock Center with Brian Williams program that some details in the grand jury report against him are correct. But that he has not sexually abused young boys. He was asked if he is sexually attracted to boys.
Sexually attracted? You know, I enjoy young people. I love to be around them. But no, I'm not sexually attracted to young boys.
Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain struggled to answer a question yesterday on President Obama's handling of Libya. It happened during a meeting with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorial board. Editor Marty Kaiser says it was a simple enough question, and he was shocked that Cain had such a hard time with it.
Quite a few of us have been in the business a long time, been through a number of these kinds of interviews, and afterwards we were really sort of stunned, at what we had just seen.
An opposition group says Syrian forces battled civilian protesters again today, even after Jordan's King Abdullah said he would step down if he were the Syrian president. The Arab League already has suspended Syria from the group and called on the regime to stop the violence. Financial filings show that nearly $100 million of your tax dollars went to pay packages for top executives of mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Those organizations got the biggest federal bailouts during the financial crisis. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Glazed ham, cheesecake. The holidays are so close, I can almost taste them.
You can at the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club event. Sample delicious entrees, desserts, and more. And everyone's invited.
The perfect time to taste and join.
Sign up at the event and get a $10 gift card, plus a $20 gift certificate good the day after Thanksgiving, November 25th.
I'm there.
Look for the insert in your paper this Wednesday. Then visit Sam's Club, November 18th through the 20th, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sam's Club, savings made simple. $20 gift certificate good with $50 purchase.
There are a lot of safety tips out there. Look before crossing the street. Buckle up. Don't eat a whole bunch of poison. For facilities maintenance, folks, here's a good one. Use Grainger. They have over 44,000 safety products to help keep your facility safe, from personal protection gear and safety signs to online safety training tools. And now through December 31st, save 30% off the Grainger catalog price on select Honeywell safety products from brands like Miller Fall Protection and North Safety. See details at Grainger.com/safety. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Walmart finally has broken the bad string, 9 quarters in a row in which its U.S. sales had fallen from the quarter before. The world's biggest retailer says sales at U.S. stores open at least a year rose 1.3% last quarter as the company again began embracing aggressive discounting. But the discounting hurt profit margins, and Walmart's bottom line fell short of forecast, the stock falling in pre-market trades. Different picture at the Home Depot, the only retailer listed on the Dow besides Walmart, reporting stronger than expected earnings. Home Depot also hiking its forecast for the full year. That stock is higher in early trades. Ace Rent-A-Car. A lot of people who had never heard of it until this morning may be inquiring about it now. That's because Ace is ranked at the top in J.D. Power's annual customer satisfaction survey of the rental car industry. Enterprise, National, and Hertz follow Ace on the list. More worries about European debt are pulling down stocks again. S&P futures losing 13 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
We all know that email marketing from Constant Contact is a powerful tool for small businesses. But now, Constant Contact is kicking it up a notch, helping you tap into the wonderful world of social media. Of email, but with an extra boost, a share button that lets them spread your message to all their friends. So your powerful email is now a super powerful social media email. And super powerful is way better than powerful. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com.